If you subscribe to this podcast or listen frequently, you may recognize this opening music. I have used it once before. It's from a video produced by Canada Post, yes, the Post Office, to celebrate the 100th anniversary of a major broadcast on Canadian radio. XWA Montreal was granted an experimental license to broadcast starting December 1st, 1919. That's 102 years ago. Their big live entertainment broadcast, heard over the air at a conference in Ottawa, happened May 20th, 1920. That's a great radio story. It's great Canadian history story. But I'm really concerned we're on the brink of losing a great deal of our radio history. TV history, too, though I'm much less interested in that. Broadcast history? It seems to be one of those things people don't care about. I'm Paul Cross. This is Crosstalk, Media History, Commentary, and Analysis, Season 6, Episode 4. We know that voice transmission by radio waves originates with Canadian Reginald Fessenden first in December 1900 and then, famously, in a Christmas Eve broadcast to wireless operators on ships at sea in 1906. But where can we go to find and listen to great moments from Canadian broadcasting? The internet certainly should be able to give us great access to historic moments, but who has the original recordings and are they being saved? Radio and TV stations used to keep archives, discs, tapes, film, videotape, and then digital files of some of their finest moments and moments in history. But consolidation, changes in ownership, and the fact of radio and TV being swallowed up by corporations have put some of that material at risk. I hear a lot has just been thrown away. Back in 1967, the Canadian Association of Broadcasters gave a $25,000 grant to establish a charitable foundation to tell the story of Canadian electronic communications. By the early 21st century, the Canadian Communications Foundation was operating an online site, broadcastinghistory.ca. I have mentioned this before, and I point out again, I am a member of the board of directors. The site has thousands of pages of information about radio, TV, developments in broadcasting, figures in early broadcasting, and so on. It's here, as I recall, that I first heard of the Moose River mine disaster, as it was known, from 1936. Listen, this is very early, extended live radio news coverage with reporter J. Frank Willis, a cooperative effort between CHNS Halifax and the CRBC, which later became the CBC. Willis goes on the air every half hour for 56 hours, eventually reaching, it is estimated, 100 million listeners around the world.
It is a broken country down here, drab and desolate, almost impenetrable from the outside world. You come in over roads, almost impassable. A country of scrub and second growth, of rock. Rock, relentless, hard, cruel hard. It is against rock of this sort that miners for the past week have fought and fought, grim-lipped, determined, every hour, every minute, risking their lives 1,000 times, an hour, a minute, in this titanic battle to save the lives of 2 Toronto men. And they're winning their fight. Inch by inch, the rock is retreating.
There's audio from that story on the CBC archives and on the site of the CCF. But the foundation has been struggling for years for finances. In the new era of broadcasting, companies don't see a benefit to supporting this type of thing. Around the time the CCF went online, a group called the Canadian Broadcasting Museum Foundation was started. Its goal, it says, is to preserve Canada's history, culture, and broadcasting heritage. Its website features this video produced in 2017.
Aerium is a virtual museum, a museum dedicated to the history of broadcasting in Canada. It will become the most technologically advanced museum in the world. Air, as in on the air or through the air. Eum, from the Greek meaning the knowledge of, as in museum. But in this case, a very futuristic kind of museum. You can visit anytime you want, from anywhere you want, online.
The CBMF has, I understand, hundreds of significant bits of recordings from radio and TV. But 20 years after it started, it has not been able to open a physical exhibit space, and the materials it holds are not available to the public online. On November 24th, representatives appeared at a CRTC hearing asking the commission that regulates broadcasting to require Rogers Communications to donate to the foundation as part of its takeover of Shaw Communications. The Berliner Museum in Montreal, named for Emile Berliner, who invented what we came to call records, the flat rotating gramophone disc, the forerunner of today's vinyl, has an exhibit celebrating Canada's 100 first years of radio. I think it was Berliner gramophones they hooked up at AXWA Montreal, becoming the first radio station to broadcast records. I imagine this is the first you've heard of this museum. Now, imagine if a public institution showed an interest in preserving Canada's broadcast history. The National Archives has some amazing resources, but the terms radio, broadcasting, or television do not appear in its archive menus. By contrast, the Library of Congress in the United States has set up what it calls the Radio Preservation Task Force. It's been going for 7 years now with the goal of facilitating the preservation of radio recordings for research and educational purposes. And it's supposed to find that audio currently held by other archives, including private collections across the United States. Imagine if the National Archives of Canada established a similar task force for Canadian radio. This is really Canadian history, you know. Yes, radio stations paid to create the content, but we, as listeners over the past century, have lived these moments, hearing them on the radio. We are invested in it. We undervalue what we have created, innovated, invented in radio in Canada. We used to do some of the best entertainment music radio in the world, and some of the best news and documentary work in radio. We are at risk of all this being lost and never available to the public for future research, education, entertainment, inspiration, and understanding of our history. At a time when we are trying to correct the way history has been miswritten, we should also preserve and be able to critically examine Canadian radio. This is Crosstalk. I'm Paul Cross. I study and I teach podcasting and radio.